Seaside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Ideas are already coming from Capitol Hill for how to fix what the Supreme Court said was broken on military terrorism tribunals. First with a proposal, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter.
It is a bill which I'm introducing. I believe will satisfy the requirements of the Supreme Court of the United States.
The Supreme Court said Congress had not given the president the power to try terror suspects through military tribunals. Mr. Bush said today he'd work with the Congress to solve that. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer at the White House.
The White House puts the Guantanamo detainees into three categories, saying some will be sent home, while a core group is described as so dangerous that their own countries don't want them. The third set of detainees are at the heart of the high court ruling. They're the ones the administration wants to bring to justice.
The Fed gave short-term interest rates another bounce to 5.25%.
Investors are now optimistic and betting that the Fed is done or very nearly done raising interest rates. The fact, if you look at the language closely, the Fed is now saying that economic growth is moderating. Even though they did say inflation remains a risk, the fact that they're seeing moderating growth, that the housing market is now cooling, may mean that the economy may take care of itself and the Fed won't have to step in anymore with these interest rate hikes to put the brakes on things.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. On Wall Street, the Dow soared 217 points to close at nearly 11,191. The Nasdaq leaped 62.5 points. Oil prices leaped too, $73.72 a barrel, up $1.33 today. Federal officials have recovered the stolen laptop and external hard drive that has all those military and veterans' identities on it. Turns out the FBI's experts say they think no one accessed it, an indication the crooks didn't know what they had. The FBI's agent in charge in Baltimore, Bill Chase.
The results that we currently have are very preliminary, but they are very favorable. We feel like we can be relatively certain that the information was not compromised.
Sighs of relief, like a hot air balloon on Capitol Hill. 15 people died in East Coast storms and floods. Things are slowly improving. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano making his way through one flooded Pennsylvania neighborhood.
This flat-bottom boat's the only way to get around this neighborhood. We float over fences and around street signs. Every home, the water's up to the top of the front door. Howard Ike here stayed as long as he could. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning.
You lost the first floor, right?
Yes. Yeah, we put everything up as far as we could, the couches and stuff, moved everything to the second floor. So
they're hoping the water here recedes enough tomorrow to get inside. Lumiliano, CBS News, Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania.
A Ferrari being auctioned online comes complete with a 26-year-old blonde. Layla says she's hoping for $1.6 million. Says she wants a man who doesn't want her just for her money. He needs to want the car, too. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
It's an idea. Make toys heavier, which forces babies and toddlers to work harder and therefore burn more calories. Indiana state researchers say it won't solve the childhood obesity problem, but it could make a small difference.
Sound off with roll call. Staff Sergeant Allen.
Roll call in the military is the commander's way of knowing you were there. Silence means a comrade in arms is absent, and sometimes it's an absence that cannot ever be repaired.
Specialist Babineau! Specialist David Babineau!
Mm-hmm. Memorial today in
Specialist
Iraq.
Specialist David J. Babineau!
Remembering three dead soldiers.
AFC Menchaca!
Those two were kidnapped, tortured, and murdered by terrorists.
PFC Christian Menchaca.
Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now, it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best, Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat, join it. Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, because he has so much to give. I am your humble host, Peter B., and for many of our listeners, I hope you can stand it. This is your second three-hour dose of yours truly today. Under difficult circumstances for Tom Hartman, I've enjoyed sitting in on his program, and if you were listening, I thank you for putting up with me. We've got another great edition of the Peter B. Collins Show for you today. Coming up in about a half an hour, in honor of George W. Bush's upcoming 60th birthday, that's coming up next week, we're going to offer you a future retrospective. That's right, looking back at the brilliance of the Bush administration from the year 2046. Also on our program today, a look at the stunning Supreme Court ruling today in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld, a huge setback for the Bush administration. We'll talk with Bert Brandenburg, the executive director of Justice at Stake, an organization that just published a report that says our courts are under siege since 9/11. Also scheduled today, John Nichols, a powerful writer for The Nation, the co-author of a new book called Tragedy and Farce. And Paul Waldman, our correspondent at Media Matters for America, will be checking in to talk about the attack on the media, and in particular, the New York Times, from the Bush administration. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're always invited to call with a question or comment at any time during the program. We break for callers. 831-899-5792 is the number to reach us on the Central Coast. That's a local call in the 831 area code. And you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Emails available to Peter at peterbcollins.com. Nico Pitney joins us for our weekly update from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. It arrives in my email, and I appreciate that. You can have that, too. Just log on to progressreport.org. Nico, how you doing?
Hey, Peter B. I hear you're working overtime.
Yeah, and I'm not under a union contract, so there's no overtime, double time, meal penalty, or any of that kind of stuff.
I'm worried
about you folks in the district, because a lot of the District of Columbia is actually below sea level, and you folks have been pummeled with rain. There's been extensive flooding. I know the Center for American Progress is well above ground, but your domicile, do you live above sea level, Nico?
Thankfully, I'm up on the eighth floor of my apartment, but I know that the subway was flooded on my way to work on Monday, so I ended up walking there, which was a good exercise. So it's a mixed blessing.
Yeah. Any of your friends had significant losses? Because some people
no,
are hit
thankfully,
pretty hard.
To be honest, a good deal of the flooding has been in Virginia and Maryland, where, you know, fewer people live. I mean, that work at the center. So thankfully not a lot of damage around here. But
yeah. Pennsylvania hit pretty hard, too.
Oh, yeah. Pennsylvania is really nasty.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tip my hat to the Center for American Progress because in collaboration or perhaps collusion with Foreign Policy magazine, you folks conducted a survey of 100 top national security experts here in the United States and came up with some remarkable results. Now, we touched on this in a previous broadcast, but the news has really broken big time. Bob Herbert wrote about it in the New York Times today. The San Francisco Chronicle has an article that originated with Bob Deans at Cox News Service, complete with a little table with some of the results. And I think it's important information, and I'm glad that your work is getting this kind of attention.
Yeah, I mean it's been it was a long time in the making, rounding up over 100 of these foreign policy and national security experts was an extremely difficult task, and getting them to fill out this online survey was half the battle. But it's produced, I think, some really remarkable results, and you know, basically showing that across the spectrum, I mean, from far conservative guys like Michael Schuyer, a former CIA official, you know, to people on the progressive side, they all realize that, that Iraq has been a major blow to U.S. And international security, and B, that the efforts to undermine and defeat these terrorist networks is going really poorly, that the Bush administration doesn't know how to get it done.
Let me just run down a couple of the key statistics here. And you broke it down, and the individuals who responded identified themselves as either conservative, moderate, or liberal. And let's put aside the moderates and the libs and just talk about how the self-described conservatives responded to some of these key questions. 81% of conservatives said the world is becoming more dangerous for the United States. 71% disagreed with Bush that the U.S. is winning his so-called war on terrorism. 69% said the Iraq war has had a negative impact on U.S. security. And 68% rated U.S. intelligence reform since 9/11 as fair or poor. So these are very low marks from very conservative people.
Yeah, and I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, the numbers don't lie. The State Department figures on international terrorism, it's just skyrocketed over the last several years. You know, you can keep the ideological blinders on. People in Washington who have, you know, Senate and House seats to keep, who have personal interests in pretending that things are going well. I mean, they're basically the only ones still out there claiming that the Bush administration strategy is working. Even folks who otherwise agree with them, you know, but don't have that personal stake in pretending that things are going well, they recognize, you know, we need a major shift.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that Michael Schuyer made an appearance at the Center for American Progress yesterday. He's a fascinating man, and I've met him in person, interviewed him four or five times over the telephone. And what strikes you about Michael Schuyer is he's very smart, and he ran essentially the Osama desk, the Al-Qaeda desk at the CIA for 5 or 6 years. So he knows a whole lot of information, and he is one of the most unfailingly polite people I have ever talked to. It's always, yes, sir, no, sir, Mr. Collins, sir. And you're a little younger than he is, Nico, but I can imagine he was saying, well, Mr. Pitney, thank you for your question, sir.
Yesterday he got in quite a tussle with one of the other panelists. If the Israelis and the Palestinians are blowing each other up, you know, what is that of any interest of ours? He's got a very limited view of what constitutes, you know, our national security interests. Mm-hmm. Basically, what, you know, what's making the American people and the American people only safe? And even he is, you know, very critical of what the Bush administration is up to.
Yeah. Well, I commend you and your colleagues there at the center on this report, and I'm glad it's getting some wide distribution so that more and more people can understand the truth and not just the spin coming out of the White House. Next up, Nico, I wanted to talk to you about the reaction in Washington to yesterday's Supreme Court ruling, which upheld largely the mid-decade redistricting in Texas that was the brainstorm of Tom DeLay. He took some of that money that he had raised for national campaigns laundered it through to the Texas legislature, which was a violation of the Texas law. That's why he stands indicted. But his handiwork was approved by the court yesterday, and I'm still trying to understand how Justice Kennedy could write in the opinion for the majority that while there was partisan considerations deeply involved in this remapping, he said not every line of the remap could be attributed to partisan motives. Well, I find that preposterous, because maybe there were a couple of lines. I mean, there were, after all, five districts with a lot of different lines. But this is such a narrow statement, and it's a way of wriggling out of the Supreme Court's obligation, in my view, to provide a standard for when you cross the line to becoming purely partisan in your gerrymandering.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it was disappointing, but it certainly wasn't unexpected, because the Supreme Court has never ruled that a redistricting was too partisan, and was so partisan that it violated the law. The one element of the redistricting that they did strike down was so odious, was so obvious. They basically tried DeLay and his conservative friends in Texas basically tried to pull 100,000 Hispanics out of a heavily Republican district and fork them into this oddly shaped district. It was so obvious that the court had to strike it down. But in terms of straight partisanship, they've never showed an inclination to reject that. And there's a comment, a legal analyst for Slate.com wrote today. He said, at the very base, all legislation has to have some legislative purpose. It can't just be all partisanship. Mm-hmm. If only for that reason, the court should have problems with what was done in Texas.
Here's the quote from Justice Kennedy's opinion. The legislature, the Texas legislature, does seem to have decided to redistrict with the sole purpose of achieving a Republican congressional majority. But partisan aims did not guide every line it drew. Now, that is, missing the forest for the trees. And it's just so clear. He even acknowledges that their sole purpose was partisan, but then wriggles out of it.
It is really stunning. And it just shows, it shows the need, some commentators have said, the Democrats should maybe see this as an opportunity to go in states where they control the legislature to go and redistrict so that all the seats are gerrymandered in favor of Democrats. But I think it really just calls attention to the need for an independent redistricting process across all 50 states, so we people can actually feel like their vote is counting and feel like there's an actual race in their district and it hasn't been decided beforehand.
We're going to take a break and return with Nico Pitney from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Questions or comments, bring them on. 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Nico Pitney at the Center for American Progress in Washington. He is on loan from California, a graduate of UC Santa Barbara. And Nico is the co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. You can get it in your email free. Just log on to progressreport.org. And topic A of the Progress Report today, Nico, is our victory in Afghanistan. The mission accomplished. We've moved on, and everything's just hunky-dory there, especially if you like opium poppy.
Yeah, oh, that's booming there. That's your place to go to get it. Condoleezza Rice flew in yesterday, and just like President Bush's trip to Iraq, it was, things are so well there that she needed an armed convoy. She was kept, you know, in a massively fortified compound, high walls. So it goes to show you how well things are doing.
Yeah, there has been a significant resurgence of the Taliban, and one of my correspondents, Nico, informed me last week, to my surprise, that we have launched more air raids over Afghanistan in the past 5 months than we have over Iraq.
You know, and it goes to show you how much this conflict has changed in Afghanistan. It's becoming internationalized. They're now using the same the folks fighting U.S. forces are using the same tactics as insurgents in Iraq, such as suicide bombings and car bombings. The number of attacks on U.S. troops is beyond the number that occurred in 2001. And it's a stunning fact that I think the majority of people don't have any idea of.
Yeah. And, of course, we don't have much media deployed in Afghanistan, so we rely on foreign news agencies or just kind of official coverage from the Pentagon. But we really don't have a good handle on what's going on in Afghanistan because the media senses the American people don't care and they don't want to spend the money or risk lives of reporters and crews to put them there.
Yeah, it's very difficult, unfortunately, once the media has developed its narrative, and in Afghanistan the narrative is set. You know, it was a victory, a quick victory for the United States, and it's, you know, while there may be some scattered violence around, it's basically over. And really what we're seeing is that the opposite is true, that we really need to focus there because it's not just that the Taliban is reforming, but that this Karzai government, who we've put a lot of faith into, is not, you know, they've brought on some very unseemly people. And the other thing is, without media attention, you don't get donors. You don't get these international donors giving aid. And we need reconstruction work there. And the people who have pledged funds are not coming through.
Mm-hmm. And, Nico, one of the dirty little secrets that, you know, we don't really like to talk about is that the U.S. did a cut and run from Afghanistan 3 full years ago.
Oh,
and of
sure.
course, we're not supposed to cut and run from anywhere once Bush commits us, but, hey, that's the model for cutting and running.
Except if you're General George Casey, who, you know, wants to cut and run from Iraq beginning this year, and then that's okay also. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to turn responsibility over to NATO now. We've already begun to do that, but basically we're beginning to pull out, you know, a lot of the funds that have been appropriated from the U.S. to Afghanistan haven't been spent, despite the fact that there's a massive need for them. It's really kind of an abandonment of something that President Bush portrayed as a long-term commitment to this country.
And Nico, do you know, has Osama dropped a new vid today?
I don't know. I don't know if it was today. ABC News reported yesterday that in the next 3 days he would present a kind of ode to Zarqawi.
Why would they tease that? I mean, is that they got the trailer and they're going to roll it out over the long holiday weekend to compete with the Prada movie and
well, yeah, I
cars?
Mean, the sophisticated marketing now, it's really something to behold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's also interesting because of what we know of the bin Laden-Zarqawi relationship. Bin Laden was apparently very upset about the way that Zarqawi was running the insurgency, basically carrying out tactics that were earning the anger of many everyday ordinary Iraqis. And so, you know, it's interesting that he's now going to come out and apparently give a tribute to him.
Well, and that will be curious to me, Nico, because, you know, one of the things the Bush administration has tried to claim is that Zarqawi was in Iraq before we invaded, and therefore al-Qaeda was in Iraq before we invaded. The problem is Zarqawi wasn't a part of al-Qaeda at the time when he was living up, I guess, just above Mosul and near the Kurdish part of Iraq. And yet the right wing tries to replay this and kind of compress the timeline and indicate to the American people that Zarqawi was always part of al-Qaeda.
Well, sure. And as you noted, he was up in the Kurdish areas. The United States was flying missions out of those Kurdish areas. We had complete air coverage of there. Saddam Hussein had zero influence. It was, to suggest to use Zarqawi's, location there to suggest that there was any ties between him and Hussein is really, I mean, it's extremely disingenuous and dishonest.
Yeah, and somebody should explain all that to Rick Santorum the next time he discovers the WMD. Nico, thanks for your work.
No explaining will help, I think.
Okay. Good to talk to you. We'll check in with you next week. Thank you very much. That's Nico Pitney at Center for American Progress. Log on to progressreport.org. Next, we go hurtling forward into the future and look back to the present.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports, including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Media shapes our children's values, desires, and knowledge of the world. I'm Nurse Rona. Join my guests from ShapingYouth.com and Common Sense Media as they discuss the ways children's bodies and minds are affected by the messages they get from the media in our society.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm having a little trouble with my technology here. God, what's wrong with this thing? Oh, man. I borrowed this from Back to the Future. Let's see if I can... All right, I got the hum out of it. I think we're ready. Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show is proud to take you forward into the future for a look back at the present. George W. Bush will celebrate his 60th birthday next week on July the 6th. And our future correspondent Richard Rappaport checks in from July 6, 2046 to take a look back at the brilliance of the Bush administration. Richard, take us there.
Peter, can you hear me?
Well, I can. This system is working, and we got that hum out of it.
I'll tell you, it's a lot of years ahead in the future today. And here in our nation's capital, it's a special day, let me tell you. Patriotic Americans are celebrating the centenary of our beloved 43rd president. It's fitting that our nation's two most important holidays, Independence Day and George Bush's birthday, come within days of each other.
Of course.
As part of the 100th birthday bash for George Bush, mid-21st century Americans are naturally thinking about George Bush's Lincolnian ability to fool all the people into believing he was an uncaring, dim, freedom-destroying, warmongering, free-market-worshipping, out-of-touch Robin Hood in reverse. Today, of course, we recognize that the opposite was exactly true. Today, in 2046, all but the most credulous Republicans recognize that only through George Bush's elaborate right-wing pretense was the nation ultimately able to achieve the social justice, economic equality, universal pensions, comprehensive health care, and environmental awareness for which he is today so celebrated. Sadly, Peter, it was only following George Bush's unfairly mocked presidency that skeptical social scientists began to peel away the pretense under which GW so brilliantly veiled his enlightened programs and stealthy career of left-wing radicalism. Through his remarkable ability to feign indifference for the welfare of average Americans, George Bush covertly set the nation on the road to liberal reform. Today, in 2046, of course, it's easy to make fun of those who were taken in by George Bush's ultra-right-wing charade. For all of that, the litany of the brilliant, below-the-radar ways he undermined and discredited American conservatism is an intriguing tale. Take, for example, George Bush's brilliant ruse in 2006 and 2007 of pretending to ignore the skyrocketing price of gas and heating oil. How else, except for his pretend disdain for the little people, could our beloved president have so thoroughly hoodwinked his oil industry chums? So sure were they of presidential support that it never occurred to them not to raise the price of gasoline to the $30 a gallon that led to the nationalization of big oil.
Ouch!
You know, in a similar way, even if the response to global warming came too late, it's clear that unless George Bush hadn't quietly pushed his own secret green agenda, America would not have been the ecologically minded nation it is in 2046. The president's ploy to refuse to acknowledge the natural environment, let alone warn against global warming, was as brilliant as it was simple. His silence in the face of melting ice caps and inundated cities created, exactly as he knew it would, the kind of dissonance that whipped the nation into the frenzy of environmentalism that characterized the 2010s. Today, we understand that the then-puzzling walkout by U.S. delegates to the 2005 Montreal talks on global warming were merely part of George Bush's elaborate reverse psychology pretense of willful environmental ignorance. And who of us today don't chortle at President Bush's seemingly dim and, as we now know, utterly contrived disregard as one cornerstone American corporation after another followed United Airlines and General Motors into bankruptcy to shed their pension obligations? Today, we honor George Bush for his steadfast refusal to address the issue until the majority of corporations themselves declared bankruptcy. How else, in business-run early 21st century Washington, could the president have achieved universal governmental-run retirement coverage except by waiting for the large corporations to collapse under the weight of their pension obligations? One of the most compelling proofs today in 2046 that illustrates George Bush's deadly earnest left-wing political intent was the extraordinary way he managed to bring about what we today celebrate as American neo-isolationism. For years, political scientists puzzled over such seemingly self-defeating actions as appointing John Bolton as U.N. ambassador or sending Condoleezza Rice to Germany in late 2005 to flub administration denials of secret torture facilities in Europe. By the middle of his second term, George Bush was well on his way to achieving something no other American president had ever even imagined, leaving America virtually friendless and despised around the world. We now know that this effort was part of the bold Bush foreign policy gambit, ultimately leading to the 2010 United Nations Time Out on America. Another key benefit of the Bush administration's program of international nose thumbing was its success in encouraging China, Arabia, and the EU to call in trillions of dollars of accumulated American debt. Today, thanks to President Bush's cleverly worked hostility to the rest of the world, we are now well on our way to paying off each of our individual shares of the national debt levied by creditor nations. At the present rate, Peter, we can easily pay off that debt within the next 100 years.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Today, we recognize George Bush's fervent yet necessarily veiled belief in socialized health care and the dozens of insanely complex and expensive Medicare prescription drug benefits he sanctioned during his second term. As Bush biographers now agree, allowing drug companies to charge American seniors insanely high prices for life-saving medicines was key to the brilliantly camouflaged ruse to move the country towards the free health care we enjoy today. Back in the aughts, popular opinion held that no one but a crazy man would throw away the technology and scientific advantage enjoyed by America until the first decade of the 21st century. Crazy like a fox, President Bush, however, recognized that by encouraging scientists, doctors, and researchers to sign the 2007 Intelligent Design Loyalty Oath, he could help democratize fields of endeavor that he felt had been unfairly monopolized by the so-called scientific medical technology complex. The result was a brilliant piece of Bush social jujitsu. It had the effect of curing America's illegal immigration problem. Instead of banging on America's doors, the world's yearning masses began turning instead to China, India, and other nations that assumed the burden of world scientific and economic leadership that President Bush prudently lifted from America's tiring shoulders. Now, nor today in 2046, can we help but feel sympathy for George Bush over the unfair beating he took with revelations of domestic spying programs that secretly monitored the phone calls, emails, and banking transactions of millions of Americans. We now know that those programs were nothing less than an enlightened last-ditch effort by the president to salvage threatened basic privacy rights of Americans. The ploy, so obvious to us today in 2046, was to attack the right to privacy in such crude and obviously unconstitutional ways that even a weak-minded Congress would be forced to address the problem of overbearing presidential powers. We agree today that it was unfair for the media to blame President Bush simply because a brain-dead Congress refused to take up the challenge. You know, it's a sad truth that it took us decades to recognize George Bush as the radical idealist he truly was. Karl Rove, for example, upon his 2020 release from the Allenwood Federal Resocialization Facility, did not hide his dismay at the revelations then beginning to gain credence. George and Laura couldn't have fooled us more if they had turned out to be Bill and Hillary in disguise, Rove commented bitterly. Anyway, that's the story from 2046 where all the things you thought were true were not true at all.
Richard, it's such a beautiful view from the future.
Everything's so much cleaner now.
And everything worked out, well, not according to the plan we saw, but to the secret plan of George W. Bush. He was so much more brilliant than we ever suspected.
The miracle.
Well, let us disclose Richard Rappaport is a journalist and a visiting fellow at the University of California, Berkeley. And he put together this retrospective. And I really think it's interesting to try to adopt this future perspective and look back. And would that we could hope that Bush really is just, you know, a chameleon, and that his real policies are, as you stated, the reverse of what they appear to be on the surface.
Well, I think that is probably not the case, but, you know, it may have the same effect anyway, because as he has sort of set these things up, you know, they simply are not going to work over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, sooner or later, he's going to have an opposition that's going to be able to sort of take what they've done and jujitsu it into the opposite.
I guess the hardest part of your fantasy to escape into is the idea that Congress is going to find its backbone and really assert any kind of oversight or accountability to this administration.
Well, he managed to push a very conservative Supreme Court into doing something like that today.
Well, that's a good point.
You know, it may be that he's just gone so far in the other direction that the momentum for that old pendulum swing is going to be in effect. I mean, I never really believed in the pendulum. I always believed in the downward spiral.
Well, and the gravitational forces are building. Richard, we're going to take a break and return. And when we do, I want to talk with you about the interesting article published by George Lakoff and the Rockridge Institute this week, which, kind of instructs Democrats not to fall for the idea that Bush is incompetent, that he's very successful according to the conservative philosophy and the wealthy donors who brought him to Washington. We'll talk about that as we continue. And if you'd like to talk to Richard Rappaport about his future retrospective, I'm sure he'd be delighted to hear from you. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast, a local call. Or you can call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You got it? 888-579-2540. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Somebody warned Memphis. W's on the way with the Japanese Prime Minister.
Why
King. Thank you so much, Evis. It is amazing that the Prime Minister of Japan made a special request, and our president granted it, to take a visit to Graceland because the Prime Minister is a big fan of Elvis, and he came through for Bush with Japanese troops and other support for the war in Iraq. Interesting payback. We're talking with Richard Rappaport. He is a journalist and all-around good guy. He composed for us Born on the 6th of July, this future retrospective look back at the Bush administration. And, Richard, it's pretty popular. We've gotten a couple of calls from people who'd like to see a copy of the article that you wrote. And I know you're trying to get a website to pick it up. But in the meantime, if people want to email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, I will either forward the text to you or just forward your emails to Richard, and we can get those into circulation. So, Richard, I wanted to ask you if you had a chance to see the story that I mentioned written by George Lakoff, that George W. Bush is not incompetent. And the argument there is not over the narrow question, but over whether when Democrats attack Bush by calling him incompetent, it resonates, or as Bush would say, resonates with the target voters that we're going after. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, I think the essay is correct in the sense that, you know, George Bush, by doing what he's doing to the federal government, is going to poison, could very easily poison federalism for those of us who have always believed in federalism, who grew up during the civil rights movement, and believe that the federal government could act against kind of the states' rights that grew out of the Civil War that led to a century of racism, et cetera, et cetera. And so in that respect, the more damage he does to it, the better off his supporters like it. So there's certainly that, you know, and the question is, if moderates ever recapture the government, is the damage going to be so complete that it's going to be impossible to undo it? I don't know what the answer to that is, actually.
Well, and I think the point Lakoff makes is essentially correct, that the real culprit here is the conservative philosophy that guides every step, including the missteps like the war in Iraq, the failures after Hurricane Katrina, and on down the line. These are not, Lakoff posits, mistakes. These are accomplishments from Bush's perspective.
They certainly feed into the policy, I mean, the overall thinking and philosophy of conservatives that government is not particularly a good thing. And so, you know, what they've done is dismantled FEMA so completely in a way that it will be increasingly discredited. And at some point, you know, Congress sort of starts paring down, you know, on that. And in terms of the war, the ability to kind of spend all of our money on something that takes it out of the country, so it's not spent on something that recreates wealth, but sort of goes into this dead end in Iraq, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have to, it is incompetence. I mean, you know, on a certain level, you look at things executed badly, and this government just seems to only be able to execute badly.
I do understand, and I also, you know, agree with Lakoff about the fact that conservative philosophy is the real issue here. But politically, between now and November, I don't think Nancy Pelosi and Dick Durbin and Harry Reid and others can persuade the American people that the conservative philosophy is flawed, because inevitably it will cause a pushback from Sean Hannity and those other creeps onto liberalism. And because liberalism is so widely discredited, and even the term itself is poisoned in our rhetoric, I think it's very hard for the left to mount a successful attack on the underpinnings of this radical Republican revolution.
Well, we got to come up with a few swear words then, you know, for conservatism, because the right has really captured the syntax in a lot of ways. Although I have to say, you know, I admire them on a certain level for the audacity, for example, to undermine the word amnesty. I mean, where I come from, amnesty can only be a good thing. You know, from both sides, from the people who grant it and to the people who it's given to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they've managed to certainly capture the language from the, you know, a complacent center just gave it away. I don't think there is a left in America really to speak of.
Well, that's an interesting point. On amnesty, in the immigration debate, they succeeded in calling anything except the draconian proposals of the Sensenbrenner bill amnesty. And that, of course, became a Republican buzzword, a leverage point. And last week, the Democrats picked it up vis-a-vis the reconciliation plan in Iraq and who gets amnesty. And we saw Carl Levin of Michigan standing there opposing amnesty for Iraqis who had attacked Americans. And number one, I don't think we can dictate to the Iraqis, unless they truly are a puppet government, exactly what terms of amnesty they should offer. And number two, Carl Levin, unwittingly or otherwise, ended up parroting the Republican point of view on that.
Well, then what we have to do is sort of take a term like cut and run and turn it back on them, because, in fact, it turns out that the military was proposing pretty much the same plan that the Democrats were talking about.
Well, and we were talking about Afghanistan a few minutes ago. We clearly cut and run from there several years ago, and that was official Bush administration policy. They seem to have a little amnesia on that. Let's take a call. Eugenia in Prunedale. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Richard Rappaport, my guest.
Hi. I walked in while he was reading that, and I got cold chills. The problem that we have is when we look at what's going on, we look at it as to how it affects what we believe. What if Bush is working on something totally different?
I mean, are you talking about just sort of once and for all overturning the first?
Absolutely, because everything was just rocking along just fine. We always had a king or some kind of ruler, and the people served that ruler until actually they got tired and they got another ruler. They picked another ruler. When the United States came along, we said the people ruled, okay? We just messed up everything.
Well, Eugenia, to your first question, I want you to know that on a regular basis, I examine my own conscience, and I look at the activities of the Bush administration trying to discern the hidden brilliance. And the most recent attempt I made was when Bush went to India and basically acknowledged that they have nuclear weapons and a nuclear program. And we said, that's okay, because you're on our side, and we're going to facilitate the expansion of your nuclear capabilities and permit you to keep large portions of this off limits to international inspectors. And I keep, I look at North Korea, I look at Iran and the way they're amping up their efforts to acquire or expand nuclear capabilities, and I still have not found the secret brilliance of our shift in policy toward India.
Well, I could, I happen to disagree with you on that, but my problem with it is that the Bush administration, when it first came to power, decided that our new best friend in the world was Pakistan.
Yeah.
And that was a disaster, because the fact is, there's only one country really in South Asia that can handle, if it can handle, the terrorism problem, and that's India. And India is the world's largest democracy. And we ought to have a natural affinity with India. But under Republicans, we've always supported the militarists in Pakistan because they're easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, my point is I don't think we can tilt in favor of India or Pakistan, and we gave a real bone to India without an equivalent for Pakistan, and I think that Iran and North Korea now say, I want to be like India. I want to have a program that you approve of, and I want to be able to proliferate all I want. Eugenia, thanks for your call today. Appreciate it. Richard, thank you for this contribution to the dialogue. And if anybody wants to get a copy of this, just email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I'll send a copy of Richard Rappaport's future retrospective called Born on the 6th of July. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks so much, Peter.
All right, good to talk to you today. Coming up next, we've got network news, and then we're going to talk with Bert Brandenburg from Justice at Stake about today's remarkable ruling by the Supreme Court, a major setback for George W. Bush on the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. That's ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh, oh, oh. Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. A ruling for the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay.
The Supreme Court reins in President Bush's terror war powers.
Any way you slice it, it's a huge defeat for the White House.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where there was great news for veterans worried about identity theft.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Supreme Court ended its term with a bang today, blasting President Bush for ordering that suspected enemy combatants be subject to military war crimes tribunals. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
2 years after warning the president he doesn't have a blank check to conduct the war on terror, the High Court says he can't subject Guantanamo Bay detainees to military tribunals, that he's violating both American law and the Geneva Conventions. Deborah Perlstein of Human Rights First.
This is a clear assertion of the Supreme Court's continuing role to police the role of the president.
To Richard Samp of the Washington Legal Foundation, it's a court power grab.
It's highly inappropriate for the Supreme Court to be sticking its nose into the business of the executive branch.
Justice Stephen Breyer writes, nothing prevents the president from returning to Congress to seek the authority he believes necessary.
Look for Congress now to try to rescue the president,
predicts CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
In fact, the president immediately looked to Congress for a lifeline.
We will conform to the Supreme Court. We will analyze the decision. To the extent that the Congress is given any latitude to develop a way forward using military tribunals, we will work with them.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says he'll offer a bill to provide a legal basis for military tribunals. Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter says his panel is already working on a proposal.
That is a bill which I'm introducing, I believe will satisfy the requirements of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Now this.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat, join it. Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
Did you know that during baseball season, Americans eat enough hot dogs to stretch from Yankee Stadium in New York to Dodger Stadium in L.A.? Or that the 2 billion gallons of ice cream Americans eat each year would fill 7 Empire State Buildings? Did you know condiments were invented to cover up bad-tasting food? Take a bite of the food that built America. Americans Eat, tonight at 10, 9 Central, only on the History Channel.
Late developments in the confrontation between Israel and Hamas. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker in Gaza reports Israeli warplanes have hit several sites, including the Palestinian Interior Ministry.
Israeli sources say that there was a meeting taking place, a meeting that they claim was related to the planning of terror activities. That's why they hit that building tonight. We don't know yet who was at that meeting. We have also been told that there have been more strikes on the Gaza power station.
Earlier, Israel held off on invading northern Gaza, waiting to see if diplomacy would result in the release of a captured Israeli soldier. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, acting as a mediator, says Hamas has conditionally agreed to turn the soldier over, but the Israelis have not yet accepted the terms. People whose names and social security numbers were on that stolen Veterans Affairs Department laptop can relax now. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Nearly 2 months after the home burglary that put more than 26 million veterans and active duty military at risk of identity theft, Veterans Secretary Bill Nicholson was able to announce a happy ending.
The subject
hard drive and laptop computer that was stolen from a VA employee's home has been recovered.
Someone turned it in to police for the reward, and the FBI's Bill Chase said they're confident, based on a preliminary examination, that the burglar never looked at all the sensitive data inside.
It was password secured, but I just don't think the person knew, and I'm speculating, I don't think they knew that those files were actually on there.
The furor over how the VA handled all this will not subside, but the risk for all those veterans appears to be over. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Girls as young as 11 should be immunized with the new cervical cancer vaccine. That recommendation today from a government advisory panel. The reason, says Ann Schuchat at the Centers for Disease Control, is that girls should have protection before they become sexually active.
The vaccine's been studied in thousands of people around the world, and it's been shown to be safe and effective at preventing the precancerous lesions that are precursors to cervical cancer.
One major health insurer, WellPoint, has already said it will cover the vaccine. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
July 4th is a wonderful day to relax.
Yeah, you get the drop cloth, I'll start taping.
Well, that's another way of looking at it. It's the July 4th sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on a high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium Coatings, and an extra 25% on Easy Change Wallpaper. Hurry, sale ends Monday. Ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that?
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues from the left coast this hour. We'll talk about today's Supreme Court decision about Guantanamo Bay and talk with John Nichols, a media critic and a writer for The Nation magazine. That's ahead this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All the world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
Yes, our president has told us that terrorists attacked us because they hate our freedom. And yet we have, in a disgraceful manner, denied freedom to the people detained at Guantanamo Bay. And we deny them basic human rights guaranteed under the Geneva Conventions. And our president has sought to maintain that situation. And today his hand-picked, Republican-packed Supreme Court disappointed him and ruled against him, once again reiterating that this president does not have a blank check and that those detained at Guantanamo Bay do have essential human rights. Returning to our program today is Bert Brandenburg. He's executive director of Justice at Stake. They have a website you ought to visit, and this is an organization which is comprised of many member groups, all pushing for progressive causes and concerned about the rightward tilt of our courts under this administration. Bert Brandenburg, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And before I spout off any further, what is your reaction to today's Supreme Court decision in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld?
It's a pretty big deal in a couple ways. One, just in terms of the case itself, Mr. Hamdan, it's a big deal in terms of the fact that the president was told by the court, you cannot create your own system of military tribunals outside of the ones that are authorized to you by Congress and the limits prescribed to you by international treaties that the United States has signed. So it's a big deal in terms of how this part of sort of post 9/11 life is operating, but it's also a big deal in terms of the fact that there have been a lot of essentially attacks on the court's jurisdiction to even oversee possible abuses by the government since 9/11, and this is a setback in that regard for those who've been trying to take away the power of the courts.
And let's name names. Senator Lindsey Graham is the author of that legislation which attempted to paper over these misdeeds of the past and prevent habeas corpus petitions from being originated by these detainees going forward from when the bill was signed.
Well, and it's also true that in the aftermath of the decision, one of the options left to Congress now is actually to kind of pick up the pieces and write a new authority for the president. So I don't think the issue is going to go away. But certainly the courts have said, hold on, the president can't just write this into law himself. He can't create his own court system. It has to be within a framework actually authorized by Congress.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the culmination of 5 years of litigation by one of your partner agencies, the Center for Constitutional Rights. Michael Ratner is a frequent guest on our program, and I'm delighted for them because they've been working hard to represent, in my view, the best interests of all Americans by defending the rights of these detainees who have been held without charge, without access to attorneys in most cases, and with the, you know, very bare observance of human rights standards. And we know that there have been episodes at Guantanamo Bay that amount to torture. The administration likes to tell us it's just a few bad apples and it's not their policy. But when you read some of the stories of the individuals who have been released from Guantanamo Bay, it doesn't jibe.
Well, and one small clarification, the Center for Constitutional Rights is actually not a partner organization of ours, though I'm familiar with their work. But you're right on in terms of the importance of courts at any time, and especially during wartime. We depend on the courts generally to be a check on the power of the executive and of the Congress in our system of three branches where no branch has complete supremacy. And it's especially important in times of international conflict when, as citizens, we do depend on the executive to do more, to make sure that they're doing it within the rule of law and they're doing it within the confines of the Constitution and our international obligations that we've signed. And again, that's why that decision today is particularly important, because it's essentially a little bit of a U-turn for those who've been trying to espouse a theory that during time of international conflict, the president really should be able to push ahead and not even have the courts essentially nipping at their heels or looking over their shoulder what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the president seems quite comfortable in his assertions that in all of these efforts, the NSA eavesdropping program, the data mining of phone records, now the recently revealed intercept of international financial transactions, they always maintain that they're protecting the privacy and security interests of the American people. I just don't believe it.
Well, I think that any time the executive under any administration has decided to do something, they will look at it and, of course, defend what they're going to do. I do think that it will be interesting now with this decision out there to see whether some of these other efforts will be looked at a little bit more carefully. And I would say not only by the courts, but by Congress, because this should not be a situation where we're solely depending on the courts to keep an eye on how these things operate and whether the Constitution is being observed. In some ways, a couple of people have noted today that in terms of the issue, for example, of tribunals, that there's actually an opportunity here to be a bit more coherent. The president's been allowed to kind of write their regulations and there's been nobody else involved. This is actually a good situation for Congress in terms of what it's supposed to do, to think with the executive about what's the best way to fashion a system from scratch, if that's necessary, or simply put tribunals like these under existing authority. In terms of the other things you're mentioning, the NSA wiretapping and the like, I think here, too, we have newer issues, but hopefully a political chance to take a little bit of a breather. It's been 5 years since 9/11, and say, you know, we may need the government to do more things than they used to, maybe, but we should do this through a deliberative process, not just simply have the executive push ahead and have everybody else try to chase behind.
We're talking with Bert Brandenburg. He's executive director of Justice at Stake. They're on the web at justiceatstake.org, and I invite you to visit their website the next time you're online. They have a powerful report that was co-authored by Bert called Courting Danger, How the War on Terror Has Sapped the Power of Our Courts to Protect Our Constitutional Liberties. I want to talk about that in a second, but tell us about Justice at Stake. And I had read in this report that Center for Constitutional Rights was somehow involved with it. Maybe I overstated a partnership, but it is a consortium, right, Justice at Stake?
We are. We're a partnership of more than 40 organizations from around the country who care about the rule of law, and in particular care about the, making sure that the courts have the power to uphold our rights, as well as insulation from political pressure and special interest pressure, so that they can be fair and impartial and not be responsive to essentially special interests instead of the public interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we have partners like the American Bar Association, American Judges Association. We have good government groups like the League of Women Voters and Common Cause, and a variety of state groups, all of whom care about what's going on, either in terms of pressure on the state courts or the federal courts.
Now let's talk about courting danger. One of the assertions you make here that gives me great pause is that the Patriot Act has been used to bypass the courts and marginalize their ability to protect the rights of accused individuals.
Well, and it's really a shame. It's certainly true that many sections of the Patriot Act essentially either weakened the power of the courts to oversee executive action, either by changing the standard of which they review the executive into kind of a rubber stamp standard, unless you find some, you know, flagrant, essentially the equivalent of finding somebody committing a crime right now type of conduct, you can't perform any check on the executive. Or in other cases, allows the executive to bypass the courts altogether. And it's really a shame that that would be the attitude adopted in the Patriot Act, and particularly in the reauthorization, which happened 5 years after the 9/11, because history has shown that the courts actually, if you let them do their job of keeping an eye on the Constitution and making sure the executive is obeying it, are actually fairly deferential to the executive throughout history, and there's not really a good reason to be overly suspicious of the courts. They don't tend to going around, you know, handcuffing the executive. Indeed, quite the opposite in many times of war for the United States. And in terms of what we're trying to do globally, our message is that we're trying to win a global conflict that is both a military conflict at times, but also essentially a war of ideas around the world. And so often around the world, people point to our court system and the fact that we have independent and strong courts as one of the great things to emulate if they're going to do their job right. And when we begin to chip away at that, we begin to chip away at the example we set around the world.
We're going to take a break and continue and talk a little bit more about this report and some of the problems produced by the Patriot Act, the USA Patriot Act. Bert Brandenburg is our guest, Executive Director of Justice at Stake. Go to their website, justiceatstake.org. And if you have a question or comment, now's the time to call 831-899-5792 or toll free 1-888-579-2540. 16 minutes past the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 looks at traffic on this Friday, Thursday afternoon. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm ready for the weekend. Here's Metro Diane.
We have an injury accident in Morgan Hill. It's southbound 101 before Cochrane Road. Still, a vehicle actually overturned and is now actually upside down in the center divide. So emergency crews en route for that. In Live Oak, Soquel Drive at Stanley Avenue, we have an unknown object in the roadway there. So CHP is on scene working on clearing that out of the way. In Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lorenzo Avenue, we have a stalled vehicle blocking the southbound lane. And finally, in Marina, northbound 1 before 12th Street, keep your eyes open for some wood scattered across the lanes there. This report is brought to you by Sears. There are just 2 days to get 50% off summer clothing and sandals for the holiday weekend and much more. The two-day sale this Friday and Saturday at Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 7106. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
Let's do it.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, John Nichols will join us, a columnist for The Nation and a great voice on progressive issues. We continue now with Bert Brandenburg. He's executive director of the organization Justice at Stake. Visit their website, justiceatstake.org. Now, Bert, I referenced this report, Courting Danger, that you co-authored. And let me read a quick excerpt here and get you to comment on it. In the course of rushing the 342-page bill of the USA Patriot Act into law, with few hearings and token debate, and renewing it in 2006 largely as drafted, Congress crossed a dangerous line. Much of the Patriot Act goes far beyond boosting law enforcement's power to investigate and prevent future acts of terrorism. Many of its provisions upset our Constitution's checks and balances by allowing the government to investigate and incarcerate without any meaningful review from a judge. This is really critical that Congress has crafted things that bypass the courts, and that is a very important check and balance as envisioned by the framers.
That's right. Whenever we give the executive branch powers, we depend on our system of checks and balances to make sure that the power is not abused. And in the case of the Patriot Act, for example, you know, there's a section that takes away the power from the courts to even to decide whether certain sensitive data gathered by grand juries and wiretaps could be handed over to intelligence agencies. Other sections turn these Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act courts that have been in the news quite a bit essentially into a little bit more than rubber stamps in terms of what they're allowed to look at in terms of the government's conduct. And there are other sections that essentially define down what the government even has to show if it's going to justify its actions, and in some cases eliminates the need to even check in with a court in the first place. And you know, the framers of our country could have created a system whereby one branch was simply given complete power without ever having to have another branch check it, and they did not. And they created a constitution that, in the case of wartime and international conflict, tried to balance security and liberty. The balance, of course, will never be perfect. But at the same time, it has to be attempted, and that's why the decision today is so important, that it essentially is kind of a flag going up the pole from the court saying you have to tend more to this balance. You cannot, you know, essentially try to drive the car without any guidance from other branches as to how the government's policy will be enacted.
Another item you cite here is Section 505 of the USA Patriot Act, which allows the use of national security letters, which could be generated by an FBI agent but not require any court approval. They don't amount to a subpoena or a warrant in most respects, and they expanded the way that these could be used to include, for example, telephone records. So we now know that they went to great lengths to acquire telephone records to data mine them without probable cause, as required in the Fourth Amendment. Yet the Patriot Act gave them the right to simply use these, little national security letters to do the very same thing. Why is it that this administration is so resistant to any kind of oversight?
Well, my best guess would be that any administration would have been shaken up by what went on September 11th. I think this one was probably more than most and went farther than they had to. So I think you see a situation where, in the cause of trying to protect the nation's security, they've been forgetting about this idea of a need for balance between security and liberty. And those national security letters that you mentioned used to be used pretty infrequently in the past. They were designed to be pretty rare. And they acknowledge that there might be situations where you wanted to make sure you went ahead without a court looking at it, or you might have them come and look at it afterwards. And this has sort of been blown into a big loophole, and there's at least one estimate out there that the FBI is issuing, instead of, you know, a few hundred a few years ago, tens of thousands of these. And, you know, here too, the chance for Congress to continue, you know, essentially on behalf of the American people, to weigh in on these things and not cede this field to the executive branch would be very important, because this is not just about the executive branch, say, versus the courts, even though that's what happened today. Congress needs to reassert its role, and the data mining issue is actually a great example. Data mining is very complicated. It's not the traditional, you know, search that you do where you look at someone's record or you knock down their door to go in their house, where mm-hmm. it's very easy to sort of envision what a court does. You know, it seems to me it's past time for Congress, which is the branch best equipped to be more deliberative about this in advance, to hold hearings and think hard and get professors in there and academics and the like to say, you know, well, data mining is different. Computers do it. It's not the same as a person staring at a warrant. How can we make sure that it, therefore, doesn't become a loophole whereby it's conducted outside of our system of checks and balances, outside of our system of separation of powers?
Data mining is dumpster diving without the smell or the mess. Let's go to Dave in Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Bert Brandenburg.
Peter, thank you. And, Bert, it's been my observation, largely firsthand, direct, that much of the tech powers provided to the feds to be able to fight crime on the Internet and to be able to invade those who would be engaging in espionage, you know, those powers are being severely misused and abused. They're being used to hack into those who they find troublesome, annoying, political opposition, people that engage in demonstrations. That's how this is being used. Nothing to do with fighting Al-Qaeda and crime. That's so far back on their minds. This is my firsthand direct observation.
Well, it's interesting. I used to work at the Justice Department, and I know prosecutors, and a lot of them are good people who I don't think would fall in that category. But the more important point in my mind is that we need to make sure your statement is either true or not true. And if it's not true, it needs to be corrected. And that's, again, why courts come into the equation. It's so that the feds or whoever has power don't have a chance to abuse that power. And that's, again, why a separation of powers is inherently going to be a messy system at times, and it's not as easy or convenient for those with power. But it's especially important to give this credibility and durability in the long run. If Mr. Hamdan, for example, coming back to today's case, had been tried in one of these commissions that didn't have basic Geneva Convention protections or didn't have congressional authority, then the legitimacy of that trial around the world is far diminished. I mean, this strengthens us in the long run to have courts enforcing the Constitution, to have the branches actually working with each other instead of one of them trying to run out ahead, because it helps people in the long run, mm-hmm. and hopefully people like yourself, that if something is done with, you know, court oversight or other oversight, that it is on the up and up.
Dave, thanks for your call. Bert, just about 30 seconds remaining. What's your comment on the way the Bush administration has used the so-called state secrets privilege to block lawsuits that might uncover some of the information about these spying programs, for example?
Well, the use of it, this was created in the 50s, I think, and the use of it has been going up drastically in the last few years, and this, you know, it's hard to say how often it's being used incorrectly or inappropriately, but here, too, it's a reason for a lot more oversight on the part of Congress The courts may be a little bit less equipped. It's almost like an a oxymoron in terms of what they can even get to determine if it's being done properly. But this has to be looked at. Otherwise, it could be turned into another huge loophole for possible misconduct and abuse.
Bert, thank you for joining us today. And if you want to read the report that we've been referring to, go to justiceatstake.org. We've been talking with its executive director, Bert Brandenburg. Thank you, Bert.
Thank you.
Coming up next, John Nichols from The Nation here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Joining us this half hour, John Nichols from The Nation.
We Democrats lost the last election, and to our party things did not look right. But now our long despair is done. We look good by comparison to one guy on the difference delay makes. Though the left lacks excitement, they don't have an indictment like that guy Tom DeLay. He denies depictions, says it's all crucifixion. He's a man with convictions, or he will be someday.
Yeah, let's get him a few. All right, that's enough from the Capitol steps there. What a difference delay makes. John Nichols joins us. He writes for The Nation. He's got a new book out we'll reference here in a moment. John, how are you?
I am great, Peter. Good to be on with you.
You live from Madison tonight?
I am in Madison tonight, having just finished in Washington watching today as the House of Representatives voted against freedom of the press. I decided to hightail it out of Washington quick.
Well, I'm glad you survived the trip home.
I'm not kidding, you know, that the House voted this afternoon on a resolution condemning the media for telling Americans what their government is doing in their name, but without their informed consent.
And they got a Democrat to go along with them.
They got one Democrat, Charlie Melancon from down in Louisiana. And, you know, basically the only reason they have Democrats in Louisiana is it's sort of like a purgatory before you become a Republican. And one Republican, Chris Shays of Connecticut, voted for freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
So if we knock those two out, it was essentially a straight party line vote. Republicans against freedom of the press, Democrats for it. Very simple.
Well, this is another one of these phony resolutions from the Republicans designed to try to wedge Democrats into unpopular votes in an election year.
Yeah, I think we can win this one, though, because if we frame this as what it clearly is, a vote on whether we should have whistleblowers and a free press, people to tell us when the government's doing wrong and a media to expose that, and say, you know, Democrats are for that. They're willing to let the chips fall where they may, and Republicans are against.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, too often we allow the Republicans to frame the discussion, and they put these, as you say, silly resolutions out. But frankly, I think it falls to the Democrats. It is the responsibility of the Democrats to, you know, push back and define themselves. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi ought to be on your show and every other show today saying Democrats voted for the First Amendment.
Well, I think that is important. Also, you noted in a blog post that went up just a couple of hours ago that our good buddy, J.D. Hayworth of Arizona, wants to withdraw the press credentials extended to the New York Times. Don't you think that we ought to take away his bingo permit?
Well, or his elevator pass, something. I mean, you know.
He's going to give up his congressional pin, and then he'll get the Cynthia McKinney treatment when he goes through a checkpoint.
Well, yeah, although, you know, he's got such a big head, it'd be hard for anybody to grab him. You know, look. This is Yahoo time in Congress, and you know it's very notable that this was essentially the last thing Congress voted on before they went on recess.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, to be honest, there was a group of members about 2 days ago, Maurice Hinchey, Dave Obey, and a group of other progressive members, who tried to move for recess at that point and just said, "Let's get the hell out of here. This is getting ridiculous."
That would have been nice.
Well, it was the right thing to do because they're just out of their minds.
And of course, after that fitful debate over flag burning in the Senate, you know, that certainly advanced the political process in this country absolutely zilch.
Well, look, this is the bottom line. The Republican Party, and I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I frankly can still find a couple of Republicans I like and quite a few Democrats I like, but I can also find quite a few Democrats I'm disappointed in. But in the current political context, which is a very sharp partisan divide, the Republican Party finds itself in a terrible situation. Of the 50 congressional districts that are considered to be significantly or somewhat competitive in this year's elections, 40 are Republican districts.
Mm-hmm.
Of the top 10, 9 are Republican districts. And so the Republicans are looking at a situation where they're very threatened. They run the risk of having significant setbacks, perhaps even losing the House and or the Senate. And so they've decided to do what they do in situations like this, not, you know, listen to the American people and try and give Americans something that they want, a minimum wage increase, some real plan to get out of Iraq, some education funding, something like that. they go back to their kind of bag of dirty old tricks,
yeah,
and pull out flag-burning attacks on the media.
Same-sex marriage.
Same-sex marriage. You got, you know, we can almost recite it in our sleep.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it kind of all come at a real fast pace because the Republicans realize that this is basically their last chance. If they don't turn the tide of the discussion now, they run a real risk of having serious setbacks this year. If this year's election is about Iraq and the unstable economy, Democrats have significant advances. If it's about gay marriage and same-sex, you know, or whatever, you know, flag burning, some sort of weird national rubric of a national security rubric, whatever you want to describe it, then Republicans think they have a chance.
Well, and Clinton had that banner in Little Rock, it's the economy, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if the Republicans had an equivalent this year, it would be change the subject again, stupid.
That's very good. I think there's truth in that. And, you know, the reason they do it is because it's worked. And I think that we can get angry at the Republicans for playing this game, but we also have to get a little angry at the Democrats, because the Democrats are like Charlie Brown in the cartoon. You know, every time Lucy holds the football,
yep,
Charlie Brown always tries to kick it. And in three or four, depending on how you count them, election cycles now, the Democrats have really blown their opportunity to have significant advances at the congressional level,
mm-hmm,
mainly by trying to be too much like the Republicans, not making the election a real referendum on Republican leadership.
Right.
If they do that this year, they'll do very well. If, again, they kind of send a vague message and allow the Republicans to define the race, as certainly happened in 2002 and 2004, they will at best hold their own and potentially even have losses this year.
We're talking with John Nichols. He writes for The Nation. He and Robert McChesney co-authored a new book called Tragedy and Farce, How the American Media Sells Wars, Spin Elections, and Destroy Democracy. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Steve's on the line from Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the air with John Nichols.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Hi, Steve.
What I'm thinking is, Peter said a minute ago, they just start laughing at the Republicans. This thing about the New York Times, you know, September 24th, 2001, George Bush issued an executive order saying that that's exactly what he was going to do. He was going to monitor all these monetary transactions. So if there's anybody who should be in trouble for leaking his information, it should be George Bush. And I think the Democrats should bring this out and just laugh at those guys.
Well, I think, Steve, you're exactly right, and there's more to it than that. I would wish that Democrats are a little more aggressive in coming out and saying, you know, there is no evidence at all that Osama bin Laden or anybody else associated with al-Qaeda uses mainstream banking systems that are monitored by this program. They all use the street banking of Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's very well established how money transfers are done by al-Qaeda and folks associated with them. This program doesn't monitor them. It doesn't catch them. What this program does is pull down 12 million banking transfer records a day and monitor those records. Those are not the records of al-Qaeda. Those are the records of Americans who are, you know, sending some money to their kid or withdrawing some money from their account.
I went to the ATM today. I'm sure they know about it.
You know what? You just have to accept that. That's the one thing I would tell you. I think we have to accept that virtually all of our financial transactions and our phone calls are monitored. Probably, weirdly enough, there's pretty good reason to believe that the one thing that you do in communication that isn't monitored is a letter you put in an envelope. You know, bizarrely enough, the one thing that goes through the federal government via the post office may be your safest route of communication.
Snail mail coming back into
the world. It's weird, you know, but it's true.
Steve, thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
John, this morning I was sitting in on the Tom Hartman show and had the pleasure of talking with Katrina Vandenhoevel, the publisher of The Nation.
Yes.
We're talking about the very issues here, about the pushback on the New York Times and this phony attack on the press from the White House. And I was speculating that the reason for this is they're trying to intimidate the press because there's something else out there that they really, really, really don't want us to know.
For example,
Russell Tice is a whistleblower who has taken great lengths to try to find a venue to tell what he wants to tell us. And all we know is, it's kind of like a Rumsfeld known unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's more out there. And according to Tice, it is more massive and more sweeping than anything we've learned about so far.
Well, I can tell you what it is. I mean, I don't think it's really, I'm certainly not telling you anything out of school. Back in 2001, in early 2002, it was revealed that Mr. Poindexter, the Iran-Contra figure,
right,
was back in Washington working for the administration.
Total information
exactly,
awareness.
Exactly, setting up some sort of master spying program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that became public. There was huge objection from not just liberal Democrats, but conservative Republicans. The NRA objected. You know, the Christian Coalition accepted. Everybody objected. They said, this is a terrible thing. This is too much of an assault on our privacy. And the administration officially said, well, we're not going to do it. We're closing up the program. We're shutting things down. I'd be willing to bet you a reasonable amount of money that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That, in fact, exactly what was described back in 2001, early 2002, was implemented. And frankly, if and when it is revealed that this is what's in play, which obviously much of what we've heard are pieces of it, the financial transfer stuff, the phone calls, the
right,
monitoring of emails, all that. I think that, yes, there would be a huge public outcry because here you had a case where the administration said they might do something. The public and the Congress said don't do it, and then the administration went ahead and secretly did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of stuff where you begin to talk seriously about impeachment.
Yeah.
And I believe that you're probably right that this incredible outcry about a very minor revelation. Remember, you know, everybody knew banking records were being monitored. It's a joke to suggest that anybody didn't know that.
Sure.
The outcry, I do believe, is it's a crying wolf. It's a screaming about something that doesn't matter much,
mm-hmm,
for fear that something that does matter might come next.
Take a break and return with John Nichols from The Nation. If you'd like to talk with him, grab a line now, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with The Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic this afternoon. We've got Metro Diane.
In Morgan Hill, southbound 101 before Cochran Road, we have an injury accident. Solo vehicle overturn is now in the center of I, so emergency crews are on C4, but it might be a little slow in the area. Carmel, Rio Road at Highway 1, we have a two-car accident. And a stalled vehicle in Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lorenzo Avenue. Stalled vehicle is blocking a southbound lane. And still keep your eyes open in Marina, northbound 1 before 12th Street. Some wood in the left-hand lane there. This report is brought to you by Sleep Train. Now at Sleep Train, you'll save up to $400 on select special purchase Sealy Posturepedic and Simmons Beauty Rest mattress sets. Plus, on approved credit, you can sleep free for 1 year with 12 months free financing. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Doug and Shane, Diane, and Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
Yeah, turn on the nightly news. With modest apologies to the monkeys. That's called We're the Republicans. A guy named Tony did it. John Nichols is with us from The Nation. He co-authored this new book called Tragedy and Farce, How the American Media Sell Wars, Spin Elections, and Destroy Democracy. And boy, they're in full tilt this season right now, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the funny thing about it is that here we start this conversation defending mainstream media against the attacks of the Bush administration, which is a bizarre place to be because, for the most part, major media in this country has allowed the Bush administration to get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of us who believe in a free press, who believe in the First Amendment and the Constitution, often find ourselves in bizarre places of late. You know, the classic case was the Judith Miller controversy. We all knew that Judith Miller had been a horrible reporter, inept, incompetent, irresponsible, and yet it was troubling to see her put in jail for running stories. You know, mm-hmm. when you start to put reporters in jail, you set a precedent that's a dangerous one.
Right, and the New York Times now is being attacked as a leaker for publishing the NSA spying story, publishing the transactions, the financial transactions information. And, of course, the Bush administration routinely used the New York Times for its leaks, particularly during the pre-war period.
Exactly. And so it's sort of a Alice in Wonderland situation. And the thing that I always say to folks is that at some fundamental level, we have to defend a free press. Not because what we have today is a responsible or even a good media, and not because we have a media that particularly serves democratic values or civic values, but because in a democracy, we have the ability, if we fight hard and reform a lot of things, break up a lot of monopolies, to potentially create a better media, and we do not want our government to close off the possibilities and close off the opportunities for that that change. In fact, one of the things that I think is very important is that what you do, Peter, on your station out there, and what people like you are starting to do across the country, both nationally on Air America, but much more importantly at the grassroots and communities all over the United States, is I think, the essential fight back. It is not on the Internet, and I think the Internet's a very, very important thing, and I love and respect blogs. I do them myself. But it really is on going into traditional media and creating real alternatives. And we have to defend freedom of the press because the fact of the matter is the fights that are ahead will see attacks not just on the New York Times, but ultimately on any dissenting media. And if we don't, you know, draw the line in the sand and defend the big guys, you can be assured that the little guys aren't going to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah. And a caller who couldn't stay on the line wanted to know if the rest of the corporate media will wake up now and if there will be some sort of a unified position from the media in this country challenging the Bush administration on its attacks against the New York Times. I mean, after all, they gave a pass to the Wall Street Journal, which published the same basic information.
And the LA Times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, let me emphasize, this is how absurd the situation is. This week, the New York Times also published a story saying that the commanders in Iraq are thinking of redeploying thousands of troops moving them out of certain regions. On the basis of that story, CNN had maps on television showing what regions U.S. troops might be leaving in the next couple months. Now, historically, reports about troop deployments and troop movements were the sorts of things that governments got really concerned about when there were leaks on.
Right.
But this administration hasn't objected to that at all, even though it was in the New York Times, even though, you know, the whole scenario. Why? Because that leak was done by the administration, and it helped the administration. It confused the issue of withdrawal from Iraq.
John, when I saw that front page story on Sunday's New York Times, my first reaction was, wow, this is like Kissinger in October of 68, pieces at hand. And that followed the contentious debate with all the cut-and-run language and all the questioning of patriotism of the 39 people who supported the non-binding, undated Levin resolution.
Right. This is the situation we're in is one where the administration is playing the media very hard and very aggressively. They are leaking to the same newspapers they are attacking. And hopefully, the reaction of major media in this country. I don't have a lot of hope for a lot of major broadcasts, particularly television and cable, but the old line newspapers, the old line television network news programs will wake up to the reality that they are being played, mm-hmm. that they are really being gamed by the administration and pushed into a corner. And they can and should fight their way out of that corner. You know, same thing happened in the 1950s. This is nothing new. In the 1950s, Joe McCarthy really got most of American media into a corner, convinced them that if they criticized Joe McCarthy and his Red Scare hunters in any way, that they would be accused of being communist sympathizers and be destroyed. And finally, one man, famously, Edward R. Murrow, went on television on a Sunday night and said, no, what McCarthy's doing is wrong. And as soon as he did that, the whole media suddenly became courageous. Right? They all are, oh, yeah, we're taking them on. Mm-hmm. And today, 50 years later, every major media outlet brags about how they took on McCarthy. You know, they all look back, oh, yeah, well, we challenged McCarthy.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the fact of the matter is very few did. And so there comes a moment where somebody stands up and does the right thing. I am hoping that this will be such a moment. And standing up and doing the right thing doesn't just mean defending the New York Times. It also means saying, it's over. We're not going to play this game anymore.
Yeah. John Nichols with us from The Nation. Go to thenation.com, and this guy is so prolific, he seems to type in his sleep. I want to circle back to the item you posted yesterday after the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Tom DeLay's political gerrymandering of Texas. And it also involves the media. There he was on Hardball last night, unopposed by Chris Matthews and unbalanced by any other person on the program. He got there solo, and he was able to gloat and basically dodge whatever tepid questions Matthews threw at him. But I'm still fuming over Justice Kennedy's ruling. Quote, the legislature, Texas Ledge, does seem to have decided to redistrict with the sole purpose of achieving a Republican congressional majority. But mm-hmm. then he went on. But partisan aims did not guide every line it drew. Well, this is so bogus, John. He's acknowledging that the central focus, the real driving force here, was political gerrymandering. But then he said, but it wasn't absolute, and therefore we will do nothing.
It was a, again, you got to read Alice in Wonderland to understand these times, right? It was a sort of mirror in reverse sort of situation. The court essentially acknowledged that this redistricting was done completely for partisan purposes and achieved, quantifiably, totally partisan results. And yet they said this doesn't constitutionally meet the standard of partisan or political redrawing of the lines. That wasn't the worst part of the decision, though, in my opinion. That's a horrible thing, but frankly, redistricting has been a crime for years. The worst part of the decision was there were two other components of it. One, it said that the members of the legislature can redistrict their congressional lines as many times as they want during the 10-year period after a census. So what that means is that, say, in California, they could keep coming back and redrawing the lines every 2 years.
Yeah.
New districts. Nobody would know where they lived.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what district they were in. It's very anti-democratic, and it's really an abuse of the system. So the court sanctioning that is a terrible thing. It's going to create a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. The final thing they did was they said that even if the federal courts come in and draw the lines because a state is, you know, way irresponsible or too divided or something like that, that then the state legislature can turn around and overrule or trump what the courts have done. So it creates this chaotic situation where I think redistricting is going to become a disaster in this country.
Yeah.
It's going to be, both parties are going to be irresponsible.
Neener, neener, neener. I can see the payback plan's already in effect. Thank you, John Nichols, for joining us. I want people to pick up his new book, Tragedy and Farce, co-authored with Robert W. McChesney. John Nichols from The Nation, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. High energy prices have caused the House to have a change of heart about offshore drilling. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports on a vote taken late today.
For 25 years, Congress has had a moratorium on new offshore oil and gas drilling, backed by those from California and Florida worried about their beaches and the tourists who flock there. This House measure would end that and let new drilling more than 50 miles out move ahead on the East Coast, West Coast, and Florida Gulf Coast. It would also bring a huge windfall to states that already have offshore drilling, like Louisiana and Texas, by giving them a share of royalties that now go to the federal treasury.
President Bush turned to Congress for help after today's Supreme Court ruling that he overstepped his authority by ordering military tribunals for detainees in the war on terrorism.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. Following the high court decision, President Bush indicates he'll seek congressional approval to try terror suspects before military tribunals.
We've got people looking at it right now to determine how we can work with Congress, if that's available, to solve the problem.
Mr. Bush brushed aside questions about a judicial repudiation of one of his key anti-terror policies, but the ruling is a setback for the administration. It had hoped for high court clearance to prosecute Guantanamo detainees. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
After a day when a diplomatic solution seemed possible, there's more military action tonight in Gaza.
There's been a whole series of Israeli strikes on Palestinian targets here in the Gaza Strip. The Israelis have targeted and hit the Palestinian Interior Ministry. They've targeted and hit training grounds belonging to Hamas. They've hit the office of Fatah. These are all sites, say the Israelis tonight, that are used in the planning and preparation of terrorist acts against Israel.
CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak says Hamas has made a conditional offer to release captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, but Israel has not yet accepted the terms. Hold on to your wallet. The Fed today raised interest rates by another 0.25%, and CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says that means higher borrowing costs.
Interest rates on credit cards, home equity loans, car loans, small business loans will all be rising. Mortgage rates are not directly tied to short-term rates or the prime lending rate, so you're not going to see a direct correlation with mortgage rates, although they have been moving higher in anticipation of the Fed's move, and now mortgage rates are sitting at their highest level in more than 4 years.
Wall Street welcomed a signal from the Fed that today's hike might be the last for a while. The Dow jumped 215 points, its biggest one-day point gain in more than 3 years. The Nasdaq was up 62. A happy day at the Disney MGM theme park in Florida turned suddenly tragic today when a 12-year-old boy died after riding the Rock and Roller Coaster. The cause of death hasn't been determined. Disney says the ride, which has warnings for people with health problems, was operating normally. This is CBS News.
July 4th is a wonderful day to relax.
Yeah, you get the drop cloth, I'll start taping.
Well, that's another way of looking at it.
It's the July 4th sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on a high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium Coatings, and an extra 25% on Easy Change Wallpaper. Hurry, sale ends Monday. Ask how. Ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
In Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks portrayed a World War II Army Ranger who led his unit in the D-Day invasion and later in the search for a soldier whose brothers had all been killed.
Sometimes I wonder if I've changed so much, my wife is even going to recognize me whenever it is I get back to her, and how I'll ever be able to tell her about days like today.
A day like today was a special one in Tom Hanks' career. He's been inducted as an honorary member of the U.S. Army's Ranger Hall of Fame at Fort Benning, Georgia. Hanks was cited for his role in the movie and for his work on behalf of World War II veterans. Bad time for an attack of the munchies. Police in Buffalo, New York say two men smoking pot arrived at a KFC drive-up window just as two narcotics detectives were getting food inside. Noticing the cloud of smoke wafting from the car, one of the narcs says they looked out and saw the guy smoking the biggest marijuana cigar you ever saw. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, if you can't beat the heat, join it. Get your hands on all kinds of scorching hot deals this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, at CompUSA's Midnight Madness. I'm talking smoking hourly specials, plus the hottest prices on all the coolest technology. HD TVs, monitors, and laptops starting at a sizzling $399. It's Midnight Madness, this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer after rebate, see store for details.
Did you know that during baseball season, Americans eat enough hot dogs to stretch from Yankee Stadium in New York to Dodger Stadium in L.A.? Or that the 2 billion gallons of ice cream Americans eat each year would fill 7 Empire State Buildings? Did you know condiments were invented to cover up bad-tasting food? Take a bite of the food that built America. Americans Eat, tonight at 10, 9 Central, only on the History Channel.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, heading into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now at 831-899-5792, or toll free from anywhere in the continental U.S. That number, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And peterbcollins.com is where you can find our archive programs and information about yours truly. Yes, President Gas and Vice President Biogas have been attacking the media, and in particular the New York Times, on the heels of its disclosure last week that there is another covert spying program, this one aimed at monitoring international financial transactions. And there was a bizarre vote in the Congress today, in the House of Representatives, 220 to 195. It was on party lines, except there was one defecting Democrat and one defecting Republican. And they took a swipe at the constitutional freedom of the press in a manner that I find quite reprehensible. And joining us to talk about this is Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America and is often with us on Mondays to talk about last week's media excesses. And in his spare time, he wrote the book, Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Paul, welcome to our show today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Tell us your thoughts about this broadside against the gray lady, the New York Times.
Well, you called it reprehensible. I think that is much too mild a word. There is something really frightening going on here. The Republicans in Congress and the administration and the conservative media, they have declared war, not just on the New York Times, not just on the media in general, but on the very idea of an independent journalism that holds the government to account. It is really frightening when you have people out there, members of Congress, saying that the New York Times should be prosecuted. People like, there's a conservative talk radio host named Melanie Morgan who said that Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times, ought to be sent to the gas chamber.
That's the kind of
rhetoric that's being tossed around now. Yeah. And why? Because they discussed a program that, frankly, the Bush administration had been bragging about for years. Mm-hmm. And this is really, you know, when you debunk this falsehood, the entire edifice of their argument on this breaks down. They're out there saying that this is threatening American lives and that we've revealed secrets and now Al-Qaeda knows that we're going after their finances and they're going to change their behavior. Well, the fact is that ever since the days immediately following September 11th, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and other members of their administration were bragging about how we were getting cooperation from international financial institutions to go after Al-Qaeda's finances. That's something they've been very, very public about. All that the New York Times did was reveal some of the details of that program. But yet they're actually, people are tossing around the word treason. It's really quite extraordinary. And to have, you know, the Congress actually debating a bill and passing a bill to condemn them for this, I think it's a real threat to the idea that we have a press in this country that is supposed to look after the government on our behalf. I mean, after all, you know, that's one of the cornerstones of democracy. You can't have a democracy without an independent press that investigates what the government is doing and tells the citizens what the government is up to. Democracy is just not possible without that. And the idea that, you know, I saw somebody on Fox today on one of their shows actually proposed that the government should have an office of censorship. I mean, there are conservatives now who really would have us create a totalitarian state where the government gets to decide what's in the newspapers. It's really frightening.
Paul, you referenced Melanie Morgan. Excuse me. She is a San Francisco-based talk show host and a real embarrassment to anybody who works in the media. She's an Ann Coulter wannabe, and she's made a trip to Iraq and comes back and says everything's fine and that people on the left just don't really want the truth. She was one of the people who organized the shadow march to Crawford to try to embarrass Cindy Crawford last summer in August. So she is she's really just over the top and a very shrill individual. But it's interesting to see how her comments on Chris Matthews' show have been widely quoted, calling for treason charges against Bill Keller. And she even amplified that to say that she would call for the death penalty if such a trial took place.
Yeah, and it's not just people like her. I mean, we're talking about people who we used to think were reasonable participants in debate, people like Bill Kristol and Michael Barone, who are supposed to be reasonable conservatives, who are out there saying that this is treason and there should be prosecutions. It's really an extraordinary threat. And frankly, I think that at this point, the media themselves have not done enough of a good enough job standing up to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, every newspaper in America should have editorials condemning what the administration and the rest of the conservative movement is doing. But I haven't seen very many of them standing up. And we at Media Matters spend a lot of time criticizing the media. That's basically what we're in business to do. But we do it because we believe in the idea of a free press. We believe that a functioning press is essential to democracy, and that's why we want them to do their jobs better. But this kind of all-out assault on the very idea that they should be allowed to criticize the government and to talk about the things that the government is up to is really terrifying. You're reluctant to throw around words like fascist, but that's what it really brings to mind.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that if there's a Republican administration, that they should be able to determine what's in the newspaper and what's not in the newspaper. And that if people print things that displease them, that they should be thrown in jail, and some people even advocate the death penalty. It's quite extraordinary.
Feldman with us from Media Matters for America, their website, mediamatters.org. It's a place you should include in your favorites or your bookmarks, as they do a great job of analyzing what goes on in the media and comparing it to the actual truth. Paul, what do you think is motivating this? On one hand, I kind of imagine that Karl Rove has this big button on his desk, and when he wants to change the subject, he pushes it, and if, you know, emails fly to Peter King and Peter Hextra, all of these folks who've been parroting the administration's line, you know, calling for investigations, J.D. Hayworth calling to ban the New York Times from the Congress, and, you know, all this is over the top, but it really does appear to be orchestrated. I'm trying to figure out exactly what the motivation is.
Well, I think you're right. I think it stems from the fact that Republicans are in such trouble politically, and they saw the opportunity to go after the Times and rile up their base. I mean, what they, as we were approaching the midterm elections, they're in very serious danger of losing the House and then perhaps the Senate too. And Bush's poll numbers are in the 30s, and things continue to go poorly in Iraq. And I think that they saw an opportunity to change the subject by bringing up one of their old bugaboos, the supposedly liberal media. And there's something revealing about this, too. After the New York Times published this information, it was also in the L.A. Times and the Wall Street Journal. But you notice that the administration and its allies are not going after the Los Angeles Times and the Wall Street Journal. Why? Well, not because they didn't also publish the information. They're not going after them because they know that they have a villain that they can use in the New York Times, and that conservatives don't like the New York Times and think it's a bastion of the liberal media. So they've made the New York Times into the villain because they know that that's going to get their base riled up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the motivation, and that's why you see it playing out the way it does.
Now, additionally, Paul, we know that the New York Times actually consulted with the White House before they published this. And I'm wondering if they haven't notified the White House that they have an even bigger story of domestic spying or other kinds of covert or illegal intelligence gathering that the administration is very concerned about and is pushing back at this point to try to make an example of the Times and essentially intimidate other media into backing off from whatever the next big thing is.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think regardless of whether they have something now, this administration has attempted to intimidate the media since day one. And I think that this is a real shot across the bow for the New York Times and for other news organizations, that if you displease them, they're going to come after you and they're going to send their shock troops out after you. And it can be intimidating. I don't deny that the New York Times is under a lot of pressure right now. But they have a special responsibility, not just that particular news organization, but the news media in general. They have a responsibility to show courage in the face of this kind of intimidation. You know, there's a reason why the Founding Fathers put freedom of the press into the First Amendment, because they understood that without an independent, aggressive, free press that could publish whatever it wanted, democracy itself was impossible. And so the press enjoys a lot of special privileges because of their place in the Constitution, and in exchange, they have to act as our representative. And part of that is to show backbone when they are faced with an administration that is trying to intimidate them the way the Bush administration is right now. And, you know, I think that one thing people can do if they're interested in making their voice heard is not only calling into your show and talking about it wherever they can, but send an email to the New York Times and tell them not to back down. Send emails and letters to your own local newspapers and tell them to speak out on this. I think it's the responsibility of every news organization in America to take a stand on this issue.
Certainly agree. Well put, Paul Waldman. Thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org on the web. And as we mentioned, he's the author of Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success, a great book, and it's out at your local bookstore now. We're going to go to your calls next in the Free Speech Zone. Are you outraged at this attempt to stifle the press? If you are, speak up now. 831-899-5792 is the number on the Central Coast. Call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. No baseball in Eureka today, so give me a call. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown. president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Bob Kramer of Robert Kramer & Associates. Robert Kramer & Associates is a real estate investing company specializing in the foreclosure arena since 1984. If you've ever wanted to know about foreclosure real estate, this is the show to listen to. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard on this station every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 415-830-2496. That's 415-830-2496. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 521, and here she is, Metro Diane.
We have an overturned vehicle in Santa Cruz. It's southbound 17 at El Rancho Drive. Overturned vehicle is partially blocking the left-hand lane. In Santa Cruz, Glen Canyon Road at Brancy 40 Drive, we have a vehicle that actually hit a mailbox and went off the roadway, so CHP is on scene for that. In Boulder Creek, Highway 9 at Lorenzo Avenue, Stalled Motorhome partially blocking the southbound lane, so watch out for that. Some good news for Carmel, Rio Road at Highway 1, an earlier two-vehicle accident has been cleared. This report is brought to you by McDonald's. From the premium chicken sandwiches to the chicken McNuggets made with white meat, you can trust McDonald's for carefully inspected, top-quality chicken. Taste the difference today, only at McDonald's. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We're going to check back with you in half an hour. And coming up after 6 o'clock, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We've unleashed the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. I've got one line open right now. Call me toll free at 888-579-2540. And let's head north. Mike in Eureka. You're up on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Peter B. How's it going?
Not bad.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, I just had a quick comment. All this talk about the liberal media and the Washington Post, you know, revealing secrets and stuff, it's mind-boggling to me. I don't see this liberal press that everybody talks about.
It's a figment in the imagination of Tom DeLay and his K Street cronies.
Well, yeah, and it's been going on ever since I've been old enough to pay attention to politics, which was, you know, the Reagan days.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned
delay because he was on TV last night gloating on the Chris Matthews Hardball show about the Supreme Court decision that obviously went his way. And he made a comment just about the liberal media, and Matthews tried to get him to give him one example of, you know, the liberalism, I think, of the New York Times. I believe that's
right.
What they were discussing. And DeLay dismissed him because it's as if it's so obvious that he wouldn't have to offer any evidence to back up his assertion whatsoever.
Right. It's just self-evidence, and proof isn't required. And it's just it's been going on for 20 years now. They just keep repeating it often enough. And sadly, it seems like, you know, a vast majority of the public, you know, buys into it. If it wasn't for your show and, you know, Tom Hartman, you know, there wouldn't be any news to speak of.
Well, I appreciate that. We're doing what we can, and I wish we could take over a cable news channel and put some quality stuff on there.
Well, it would be nice, and there is a market out here for it. So, yeah, I just keep up the good work, and hopefully it catches on.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your call. Ben and Salinas, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Ben.
Yes, sir. The media that says you will see the blood and the killing that our Christian people, and we're doing this for the freedom and for the world and for the freedom and all this wonderful, and that's okay. This is not a free media. They get all of the movement their handcuffs will allow. I wanted to say this to you, Peter. I'm very... I want to hear some of your Republican callers, and they're intelligent, some of them. I want them to call up and say intelligently to you on the air, KRXA, why do they still defend Rummy, Cheney, Bush, and Karl Rove and this bunch of Nazis in the White House? Republicans, please call this station and tell us out here that love our country, that truly love it, why. And something else that has really just got me boiling over, Peter, and I'll be brief and get off. This new thing, what they're going to let them drill off of the coasts of California and Florida. But in the bottom end, did you hear that the existing oil derricks in the Gulf and off of Louisiana, those oil companies, which are primarily Bush-owned enterprises, Zapata Oil and such, Arbusto and all the criminals in Texas, they get to keep the royalties, which are now turning over to the federal government as the royalties part goes to your government. In the new bill, on the rider of that, they get to keep their royalties. They miss no chance to give more and more to the super wealthy, the super elite whose feet never touch the ground, that are building concentration camps for us while they're looting the treasury. Please, Republicans, call and defend this moronic or intelligent. You guys seem to be winning the war, but we the people are still we the people.
Thank you, Ben, and I appreciate your challenge. Republicans, take it up. Give us a call. I'd be happy to talk with you. 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. Leave no oil baron behind. Lisa in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Peter, and thank you for taking my call.
I hate it when you say that, but okay, you already did.
Yeah. By the way, great job on the Tom Hartman show. You're doing fabulously.
Well, thanks. I need a drink, but I've got another half hour to go. I think I'm going to make it.
Yeah, I think you will. Besides, you get all of us wonderful people who call you up and tell you how good you're doing. So,
yes, you do keep me chipper.
Good. I have to think that the media, liberal or conservative or whatever you want to call it, would want to fight anything that this administration does in the House or the Senate or any law that they would pass because it is a violation of our First Amendment rights.
Well, unfortunately, the major focus of the corporate media in this country is not your or their First Amendment rights. It is the bottom line of profit. And currently, once again, I wish we'd had time to talk with John Nichols about this, but the Federal Communications Commission is once again revisiting the ownership rules with an eye toward relaxing them further to allow Rupert Murdoch to own newspapers and television stations in the same city and expand the tentacles of corporate control. And you have people like Sumner Redstone of Viacom, who's real honest. And he said that the Republicans are going to give him more of what he wants, and therefore he's going to support them. And it does trickle down whether they say there's a firewall or not. It's very clear that if you're a million dollar a year news anchor or reporter for one of the big networks, You know where that money came from. You know what your corporate bosses are looking for, and they do not want to make the Bush administration too uncomfortable. Sure, they'll challenge him on trivial matters, but when it comes to the things that are deemed important by the administration, you've got a media that is going to genuflect in front of them and say, we'll give you whatever you want on the air. You give us what we want in terms of ownership.
But isn't it true that's the way it's been, like, you know, Ben was saying for years? I mean, like, people have been saying, isn't that just true? That it's always been that way? It just seems more obvious now because the apparent lies and the violations of our own First Amendment, or our own constitutional
rights? I have to say, you know, I've been in this business for quite a while. I worked for ABC, I worked for CBS, and in the old days, it wasn't that way. There were responsible people who didn't get interference from the suits, and that has changed. Lisa, thank you for your call. We're up against a break. More calls in a moment. 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monday morning feels so bad.
Got a long weekend coming up.
Everybody seems to nag me.
And for a minute, I thought it was already Friday.
I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow.
I got Friday on my mind. We're heading into the long July 4th weekend, and it's really nice the way the calendar lined up. We get Monday and Tuesday off, and we will be taking a break and bring you the best of Peter B. Monday and Tuesday. So when you call and don't get an answer, don't be alarmed and assume that Homeland Security or the NSA has taken us over. It's just us taking a couple of days off. To Paul in Eureka, you're next here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Peter. Hey, I was really shocked and angered that nearly two-thirds of the Senate would vote to undermine the First Amendment, the cornerstone of representative government, by supporting a constitutional amendment to impose a thought crime statute into law. I mean, I just can't believe it.
And according to the information I've seen, I took a look and we actually read the list of the senators who voted for the flag-burning amendment and those who voted against it. It failed by one vote, and according to the published records, the person who didn't step up who had threatened to was Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York. And she'd been talking about supporting the flag-burning ban, the constitutional amendment, but when push came to shove, for some reason, she decided against it, and it was her decision that kept that resolution from passing.
Yeah, I mean, it just boggles my mind. I mean, I could understand the passion that some people have on this particular topic, but I don't think people truly appreciate the fact again that the right to criticize the government or a symbol of the government is the very cornerstone of representative democracy. And we need a really hard line in the sand, and we can't have thought crimes. We cannot allow this.
I fully agree with you. I have never burned a flag. It's never been something that has occurred to me. But I have to say that this Senate, by promoting this measure, is actually encouraging people to go out and burn the flag. And what's amazing is, I believe Orrin Hatch put up a chart in the Senate the other day and was very solemnly talking about how sad it is that there were something like a dozen or 14 incidents of public defacement of the flag in the year 2005. Now, there are almost 300 million Americans and 14 maximum reported incidents of some sort of disrespect or intentional abuse of the flag. Now, that is just so minor in the scheme of things. And does the senator recognize that by making this illegal or attempting to do so, he's actually encouraging protesters, counterculture types, anybody who wants to get the attention of, say, Orrin Hatch, to go out and burn a flag? And the coverage on television of this debate includes file footage of people going out and burning the flag.
Right, right.
What is it that these people don't get that by promoting this measure, they're actually encouraging the very behavior they hope to stop?
Well, you know, that's if you kind of take what they're saying at face value. I tend to think that they're deliberately imposing a measure. It's basically a form of intimidation. It's saying that, you know, why would somebody burn the flag? Well, it's a form of, it's expressing hostility towards the state, okay? And to the way I understand the First Amendment, as an American, that's your right to express hostility towards the state or any individual as long as there's not the explicit threat of violence.
That is why the Supreme Court ruled that it's not currently constitutional to ban that form of expression. And the senators, including California's Dianne Feinstein, were doing backflips to say, oh, we're not limiting or prescribing speech. We are trying to ban a certain action. And so you can speak out against the government, but if you choose to burn a flag or deface it in some other manner, that action, which of course is linked to your expression of speech, is somehow illegal, but the speech is not. I'm sorry. That's splitting a baby in a way that I simply can't countenance.
That's preposterous, because if I got up and I decided I wanted to, let's say, burn a bed sheet, you know, a flag is the same as a bed sheet in the physical sense. It's merely the idea that's represented by the flag that they're trying to preserve. You know, what they're basically saying is you can't express hostility towards the state.
Right.
And how long, if they allow that, then you can't criticize your representative. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a slippery slope. You know, I mean, we need a hard line in the sand on the First Amendment, because it's the very basis. I mean, if you take away the First Amendment, where people can't criticize, and I understand the passions on it, but I think, you know, they need to go back and look at why the founders, in their wisdom, imposed the First Amendment. It was to protect thought, because every totalitarian society in history has had thought crimes.
Well, and, I want to move on to other callers,
okay.
But I really appreciate your comments today, and thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Next, we go to Mike in Pebble Beach. Hello, Mike. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Weather report. It's very pleasant here in Pebble Beach today.
Oh, good. I'm glad it cleared for you.
Anyway, I think we're being too clinical. You know, I've felt that the Democrat leaders, so-called, have been very soft-spoken, and I don't understand why they don't take a leaf out of Stephen Colbert's book. And I'd like to propose a definitive solution to the threat of flag burning.
Okay.
I think the next time the Republicans bring it up, and they promise that they will, the Democrats and liberals and progressives all over the country ought to mount a letter-writing campaign to all the House and Senate people who are for this, and send in letters saying, we agree. You know, flag burning is rampant throughout the country. It's a fire hazard in the states like Florida, California, Nevada, New Mexico, wildfires everywhere. There's no time, though, for a constitutional amendment. We need to pass legislation right now that requires every loyal American to turn in any flag that he has, so that it can be registered, probably by outsourcing the registration process
to India
or
yeah.
China.
Uh-huh.
A few billion dollars ought to pay for that, so that they can then be transshipped back to the U.S., stored safely away in humidity-controlled facilities at Yucca Mountain.
Oh, at Yucca.
Yes. Then, in order to display the flag, this will be done only on approved holidays, where Homeland Security crack police will guard the flag. It'll be shown from during the daylight hours, so that suitable loyalty oaths can be taken and demonstrated.
Now, Mike, if we store them at Yucca Mountain, won't they be radioactive when we pull them out to display them?
We'll never pull them out. It's too dangerous. We've got to protect the flag.
I just don't
get the point. And I think that while I'm not able to draft legislation that would form the basis of a federal statute, I think Stephen Colbert could do a great job if we can only recruit him for the task.
All right. I'll see what I can do.
Yes, please use your good offices to get Stephen to draft such legislation and make it available so that we can support defense of our flag.
Okay, I'll work on that, and then I'll give you a rapport.
Please. Have a good weekend, Peter,
thank you,
and
Mike.
Enjoy your holiday.
Dave Pinnacles next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, about the flag, I don't know if it's ever been mentioned, but in maritime etiquette and customs, it's dictated that the flag should be flown upside down during distress, and that's how I fly my flag, because I feel our nation is in distress, so I fly it upside down.
Well, I support your right to do that.
Hey, anyways, with
and that is, isn't that a form of expression? You're using the flag to express a viewpoint.
Well, and not only that, but it's an internationally accepted practice. I mean, that's what you do if you're on a boat and you're starving or dying or whatever. You turn your flag upside down.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in distress now, so I'll have to adjust my flag over the weekend.
Hey, anyways, I wanted to agree with that lady and kind of disagree with you about the influence of the media by this, you know, secret cabal that's been running the world for who knows when. I just like to remind you that William Randolph Hearst did a hell of a job of it. And during the event of the Kennedy assassination, the American media was totally manipulated. Books like Act of Treason by Mark North, the role of J. Edgar Hoover in the Kennedy assassination, and a lot of other documented factual books will demonstrate that the media is definitely has been manipulated all the time, and this is no different.
I don't disagree with that point. I think what I was trying to say is that in my years, it's been about 30 years that I've worked in the media, I've seen a lot of people who were honest reporters, good journalists, good editors, and news directors who really did have a firewall, at least in their minds, if not in practical terms, between the business interests of the station owners or the network owners and their desire to be good news people.
Exactly. And it's just blatant now.
It is. And we've crossed a line where the editors, news directors, and reporters are all looking at the same market research, and their goal is not good journalism, it's good ratings.
Exactly.
And the good ratings are rewarded by bonuses in their 6- and 7-figure salary packages, and their interests align much more today with the corporate suits than they did 20 years ago.
And now the remedy, Peter. The
which
remedy.
Is? Yes.
Well, I'm asking a question.
Oh. Well, the
I
remedy
wish I
is
knew the answer.
We're doing our part. I mean, the
exactly.
reason I do this show and the reason we have progressive radio stations is that
exactly.
we recognize the need as well as a business opportunity.
You know, I'd like to put in a plug for South County newspapers down here. I wrote a very stinging article challenging any physicist or anybody in the world that could prove that the Twin Towers and Building 7 could fall down at near gravitational velocity
right.
without subsequent explosions at lower levels. And I was proud of the newspaper to print that letter because that just spells it out. Prove it. It couldn't have happened. Flat out, couldn't have happened. Impossible.
Well, good for you, Dave. And that's another way we can try to keep the media honest and keep our voices in there.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call today from the Pinnacles. We're going to resume our free speech zone here in just a moment. You can join us at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of the conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 takes one more look at traffic on the ride home. Here is Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Prunedale, southbound 101 at 156. Big ring and a car involved in this one. Reportedly, they are over on the right-hand shoulder. In Capitola, southbound 1 at 41st Avenue, we have a stalled vehicle blocking the left-hand lane. In Santa Cruz, Glen Canyon Road at Branson 40 Drive, we have a vehicle that hit a mailbox, actually went off the roadway and into a ditch. So a tow truck is en route to clear that out. And in Santa Cruz, southbound 17 at El Rancho Drive, an overturned vehicle partially blocking the right-hand lane. Tow truck is on scene for that one. This report is brought to you by Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Pepsi presents free Friday night bands at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Tonight, see The Fix, two free shows at 6:30 and 8:30. For the complete series lineup, go to beachboardwalk.com. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
The Fix, they're cool.
I know.
That's a happening show. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. There's room for another call or two, so don't be shy. There's a line open for you at 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540.
I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright.
I don't like reggae, by the way.
I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
Back to your calls now. Ed in Santa Cruz, you're next, and you're live on the air. Hello, Ed. We were waiting for a switch to be flipped. There you are, Ed. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wondered if you heard the perception that you're taking over the airways around this region.
No, no. Tell me. Flatter me. Fill me with...
You turn on the radio, and there's Peter B.
Oh. Well, I just was doing double shifts to help Tom Hartman out.
But, I know, but a very good program, I must say.
Well, thank you, Ed.
I wanted to tell you about, I logged on to my computer the other day, and this poll popped up about who we favor for president in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if people realize there was only one candidate in combined Democrat and Republican lists that got over 50%. And that was John McCain.
Oh, really? It was McCain.
That's right. Hillary didn't come close. Nobody else came close. And it's kind of ominous, so I decided to Google John McCain for president. And it's kind of amazing what popped up. One of the very strong editorials amongst the Republicans is, the only ticket that will succeed is a McCain-Bush ticket.
Which Bush?
Well, Jeb Bush.
Oh, God.
Even though he polled very low in the overall rankings for who should be a candidate for president.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's going to be close, you need to be able to deliver Florida one way or the other way.
That's right. Well, I guess if Jeb Bush is on the ticket, it'll be both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted
to say... That is sobering because, you know, McCain has a lot of popular appeal and very high name recognition. And I think there are many people who are lulled into believing that he's not as hard right as he is.
But you have to take that on faith, and then you see him go across the fence to do some of these, you know, welcome back dinner speeches, and you realize
Liberty University.
Yeah,
the
he'll go
Falwell.
Anywhere. He'll embrace anybody to get that job.
Yeah,
and that's
even George W. Bush. It was really hard to watch during the 2004 election cycle when McCain went campaigning with Bush, and there'd be all these public hugs, and you'd say, "Oh God, John, you can't mean that."
So what that means to me is the Democrats have to get their house in order. And to me, that means that when the platform gets adopted, which is usually the Democratic platform, is usually a wonderful thing, and then the candidates don't necessarily embrace it. They don't even talk about it.
Right.
And I think 08 is going to be the year when they really need to.
Well, I hope you're right, and it's going to be interesting to see how it shapes up. My preference is that the Democrats find a fresh face and not go to the bench for a Clinton, a Gore, or a Kerry. And a case can be made for each of those people, well, except for Hillary. I still can't get there.
Well, you got to admit that she reversed herself on the flag burning, and it was a darn smart thing for her to do.
Well, I'll take it. You know, I'll give her credit for doing the right thing after making the wrong noises. Thank you, Ed. Chris in Salinas, you're next, and you're on the air with Peter B. Hi.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Chris.
I just wanted to comment on the media consolidation, and I urge everybody to go to freepress.net or to stopbigmedia.com and file a comment with the FCC.
Well, I appreciate your activism on that, because it is kind of moving along on a, it's not a secret, but it's a stealth track. And I think that the new chairman of the FCC is going to try to pop this up for a vote before they've really heard the public. Now, there are some hearings that will be taking place over the next few weeks, but we've seen in the past that those are largely perfunctory, and we believe the commissioners have already made up their minds. So it will be interesting, and I hope we can see a resurgence of that coalition that surfaced in 2003 and 2004 to block this relaxation of the FCC ownership rules.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
All right, thank you, Chris. Joe in Brookings, Oregon, you're next, and you're on the air. Hi, Joe.
Oh, yeah, well, speaking of John McCain, I think the greatest ticket of all for America would be a presidential ticket of John McCain and Jerry Falwell. I think the America couldn't do better, you know. John McCain knows that. That's why, you know, that's why he was kissing up to Jerry Falwell. But, you know, about Hillary Clinton, to me that would be one more reason not to vote for her for president, her flip-flopping on this flag-burning issue. I mean, either you believe there should be a constitutional amendment against burning the flag, or you don't believe it. So Hillary and the rest of these Democrats should have some guts and tell it like it is, and tell these Republicans and tell these conservatives that they're a bunch of brain-dead morons for even suggesting such a thing in the first place.
And, I don't know about the brain-dead moron line, but I would like to see stronger language used to push back on these demagogues who really are pandering to the base instincts of a certain part of the population. And, you know, puffing out their chests and acting like they're the defenders of America, when in fact they're simply preening and using this as a divisive issue to pick up votes in an election year.
Well, yeah, you know, it's just more political posturing from Hillary. I mean, I guess if her vote wouldn't have made the difference, I guess she would have voted for it, so she could have claimed to be patriotic. That way, I'm sick of these fence setters and flip floppers like that.
I agree, and your speculation may be on target there, Joe. Yeah. All right, thank you very much, Billy in Capitola. You get to finish up the show today. Hi, Billy.
Hey, I don't like your bumpers. I love them. I love that song.
It is great, and that's why I let it play a little bit.
It put me in a good mood.
Got a great hook.
Because, you know, watching the Republicans doesn't put me in a good mood.
No, it can't.
And the Democrats aren't thrilling me. So all I have to say to you, my friend, is Obama.
Obama, let me recall here. He did vote against the flag amendment, but he didn't vote very well last week in the war resolutions. So
yeah.
I'm still, I like the idea of Obama as a placeholder for somebody new. And
well,
I really think
isn't
Billy...
he new?
Isn't
he new?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, as opposed to going for Hillary, Gore, or Kerry, I like the idea of promoting Obama. I think, you know, if he wound up as the VP candidate, I'd be very comfortable. But I would like to see a Russ Feingold or a Dick Durbin or even a Barbara Boxer. I know she's probably not going to run for president. But those are the profiles of candidates I'd like to see come out and run in the 2008 cycle, if only to move the Democratic Party an inch or two to the left.
You know, I wish that Feingold had shown... He has not taken off, Feingold. He is on the right side of things and everything, and yet people aren't excited about him. That's why I keep going back to Obama, because I believe that it's the emotional part that is so important. Otherwise, Feingold should have taken hold.
Yeah. Well, Obama, as I told you from that speech, he's a great speaker, compelling presence, knows what narrative means, speaks English. All of those are good. I just need to see a little more seasoning, and I'd like to see a little more progressive voting from Barack Obama. Thank you, Billy.
Happy trails.
And thank you all. We'll do this again tomorrow. Hope you'll join me then.
Until we meet.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A real bell ringer of a day on Wall Street. Stocks soared after Federal Reserve policymakers raised interest rates. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
The Fed has done what it hinted it would do. And while it's leaving the door open for further rate hikes, its statement contains some optimism. Growth is moderating, it says, pointing to a cooling housing market and the rate increases the Fed has put in place over the last 2 years. It says some inflation pressures remain and that it will react accordingly by raising rates again if it sees fit.
The stock market took that to mean that rate hikes will at least pause for a while. The Dow jumped 215 points, nearly 2%, to 11,190. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says today's quarter point increase means higher borrowing costs for consumers. Think credit cards and auto loans.
On the bright side, for those having their money in CDs and money market accounts, interest rates on those accounts will be going higher, so you'll actually be making a little more money on your money.
Environmentalists like Karen Wayland of the Natural Resources Defense Council are disappointed with the House.
What we have on the House floor tonight was, you know, a 20th century energy bill that falls far short of what we need for the 21st century.
The House voted to lift a 25-year-old ban on offshore drilling. If the Senate goes along, it would expand oil and gas exploration along the U.S. coastline. But lawmakers from southern coastal states say it would wreck their tourist economies. Florida's two senators threaten a filibuster. Senate Republicans are already drafting a bill that would give President Bush the authority to put Guantanamo detainees before military tribunals. The Supreme Court ruled today that the president did not have the power to decide that on his own. As CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports, there was one particularly vocal dissent.
The court ruling was 5-3, with Justice Clarence Thomas blasting the majority for second-guessing the president during war. Our duty to defer to the executive's military and foreign policy judgment is at its zenith, Thomas said.
Thomas took the unusual step of reading part of his dissent from the bench, the first time he's done that in 15 years on the high court. More today on those seven men arrested in Miami on terrorism charges. At the court hearing today, a federal prosecutor said one of the men has admitted swearing allegiance to Al-Qaeda and told investigators that the group planned to bomb five FBI buildings. At the White House right now, President Bush